My name is Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 10th of October 2009 and it's 1:20 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from, please?
Sasha Mataya, 38, will be 39 soon. I was born in Croatia and I live in London now.
Whereabouts were you born in Croatia?
I was born in Rijeka. The biggest harbour on Adriatic coast, north of Adriatic coast, on the border with Slovenia. Quite exotic part.
Can you describe it for me?
It's basically Sound of Music Land, beginning of Alps, but there are no running nuns, so...
When did you move to the UK?
I came to the UK 16 years ago. I came just for 2 months. It was an exchange programme with universities. And then I decided to stay a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and then I stayed very long. And my first contact with the UK, I was a male nanny. And
was that in London or somewhere?
That was in London, yes. I was I lived in Teddington, and it was my first job in the UK while I was studying here.
What was that like?
It was bizarre. I had two chargees. I had two children, one 6 and 1 2, and it was a pretty chaotic family, but I enjoyed myself and I'm still in touch with them. They moved to Australia now.
How long did you work for them?
I worked for them for about a year and a half, and then I went into teaching after that.
Had you had an experience of working with children before that point?
Well, I qualified as a teacher in Croatia, and so I did have a sort of contact with school children, but never with nappies and chicken pox and all sorts of other things. But anyway, I coped. And it was fun. I sort of, you know, I don't regret that part. And it was just sort of another bizarre experience in my life. And I have plenty of those.
Can you remember what your impressions were when you first came to Britain?
Just odd. It was extremely odd. I was freezing. It was September, and I was absolutely cold. I was shocked to see children walking in shorts with blue knees and sort of, you know, purple toes, and they claimed they were not cold. But anyway, it's part of British life. And I must say, I sort of assimilated myself into that culture now, so I do declare myself now sort of British-ish.
Does it really feel like home?
Yes, it does. I say I'm sort of Brit-ish.
How did you hear about this project?
I read it in the newspapers, and immediately I came home and I pestered my partner. We both have to apply. And I applied and I sort of had 3 rejection emails, and I almost gave up. So the good news came 2 days ago, or day ago? I got a phone call on Thursday during my GCSE lesson. And of course I answered the phone. And the whole class just erupted after that, so...
Did they know that you'd applied?
Oh, yes, they know, because I was pestering them also sort of to apply. Some of my students, I said, you have to apply. And anyway, I'm very happy I'm here now, so... And I'm getting sort of support from them, about 12 of them coming tonight, I hope.
How long have you been teaching over here?
I've been teaching in London, 10 years now, yes. It's been 10 years of teaching art in London.
And is it a school that you teach
at? This is my third school. I teach at the moment at Queensgate, which is independent school for girls in central London. And it's also sort of extremely international school. There are lots of sort of different languages, different cultures, and it's fun. It's very similar to this sort of Portrait Britain project. I think I have a sort of little Portrait Britain in my school as well. So,
how old are the children?
The children are 4 to 18, but I teach 11 to 18. It's a sort of prep school and a secondary school. And they're lovely girls, lovely children. It's very unorthodox school. There is a book published recently, and it's called Unschooly School. It's not actually some Trinians, but quite close.
So what's your approach to teaching them art?
I love to expose my students to sort of all sorts of different experiences, and this is actually one of them, because this project, I'm taking this also as a part of my personal project, because I'm going to record in a visual form 1 hour of my life, facing north, south, east and west. And I will record it in a sketchbook. I will draw for 15 minutes the view in front of me, then I will move and face south and draw that view, and then hopefully tomorrow or Monday in school, when I sort of start teaching again my GCSE class, we're planning to stitch all these little sketches together and create one large, not a mural, but sort of paper mural, and it's going to be stitched with a sewing machine. So I'm taking sort of this opportunity also to promote my work as well. So
could you tell me more about your work?
I specialize printmaking and painting, and at the moment I do quite a lot of prints. I'm getting obsessed with cats. I don't know why. So I'm drawing quite a lot of sort of sketches and monoprints and dry points of different cats. And I was given actually a cat by my previous school. I was given a kitten by my GCSE leaving class. And that kitten is now 8.5 kilos, and he's called Spike, and he's 4.5 years old. And I started drawing cats just to sort of observing him around the house and the way he moves. I'm fascinated by sort of how people and how animals move, and I'm very realistic in my approach. That's one of the reasons why I like Gormley's work, because he's portraying himself through this sort of quite rigid, quite cold media. And I try to do something similar, but I'm portraying sort of movement. And I always sort of, I try to describe the line, also it's very, very cold, because there's no texture, there's no, you see line just as sort of, you know, from one perspective, it's just very sharp.
Is that what you mean by cold?
Yes, very sharp, very sort of cold feeling about it. And all my drawings at the moment are just sort of very angular, very linear. But I'm a very warm person, so.
Is that how you described yourself?
I think I've forgotten what I put there as sort of, I had to put three words. I think one of them was friend. The other one was, I think I put hyperactive. And the third one was just sort of globity gloop. I have no idea what I put as a third one, because I couldn't describe myself with three words. I can't describe myself with one word, hardly sort of, it's very difficult sort of. I don't want to sort of, I'm not particularly keen on sort of taking my own photographs, because I sort of, it's always sort of very plastic, and then I don't want other people to have that sort of opinion about me. But again, it's quite sort of egocentric, and sort of we all are, because we want to be presented as sort of nice and warm and cuddly. Anyway, that's a little bit about me. And also I sing.
What do you sing?
I sing with London Gaiman's Chorus, and I've been singing with them now 3 years.
How did you first come across them? How did you find out about them?
I read in the newspapers. Thank God I can read. I found everything in the newspapers. I read in the newspapers, I went for the audition, and I knew somebody who was singing in a choir before, and they asked me before to come and join them. And I auditioned, and I'm lower bass. And at the moment preparing the Christmas concert at Cadogan Hall called Sing-darella. And I'm very tempted to apply, to actually audition for one of the Ugly Sisters. But on the other hand, I'm not brave enough, so we'll see. Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Had you done any performing before?
Yes. Little secret. I danced ballet when I was in Croatia. I started as a child, and I did 11 years. And also I went to a music school. And I play a squeeze box accordion. So it is quite bizarre life. I did lots of other things, and I'm hyperactive, basically. But the thing is, whatever I start, I have to take that all the way to the end. So I have to finish when I start with something. So I'm not jumping from one thing to another. So
when you were back in Croatia, when you were younger, were you more focused on dance than you were on art?
Well, actually, both ways. My dance teacher said that I would never be a solo dancer because I don't take it seriously, but I would always get a job as a sort of chorus member. And I just took it as a sort of something fun, something sort of energetic, and it was sort of filling up some of my days. And also I traveled quite a lot with them, so with the company, so that was interesting. And I still sort of love traveling. So.
How old were you when you stopped ballet?
I stopped ballet when I was 21. I fully stopped classical, but then I carried on for another 2 or 3 years contemporary dance. And also I tried to assimilate that into this sort of movement. All my early pieces of art were depicting some sort of movement through sort of dance, and there was always a sort of human figure in every single piece of work. I never did anything abstract, and I really want to, but I'm not brave enough because I would receive negative criticism. So
does that bother you?
It doesn't, but it does sometimes if I'm on my own and I don't have a sort of shoulder to cry on and I receive negative criticism, then I sort of feel a little bit down and depressed. And
do you feel you have to explain your work to people?
I try not to. That's why I sort of try to sort of create something that is explanatory and, you know, by itself. So when you see the image tells you a lot about me, about my work, about the style of my work. But it's very difficult not to put a lot of yourself in your work. And I do want to be portrayed in a sort of positive way, because I'm not going to live 400 years, so I hope 80. And in these 80 years, I want to sort of stay preserved in, you know, my friends' memories as a sort of nice and warm person, somebody who was creative, somebody who did something mad in the middle of the night, dressed in a bin liner, pouring rain, standing in Trafalgar Square. So, but it's funny, sort of, you know, I'm just thinking on the way here, I'm thinking, for heaven's sake, sort of, I was born in Croatia, and I'm standing now on the plinth, Trafalgar Square, and I'm a plinther. So it's odd. So I don't know. I'm not nervous. I don't know what to expect from this. I just want to sort of, I want to portray this project and present it to my students as sort of starting point for maybe one of their future projects, this sort of 1 hour of my life. Because I saw the exhibition last year at Affordable Art Show, and I think it was called 365. That was the title of that art piece. But there were 365 very small paintings, and they were painted by, I have no idea who, a male painter. And immediately when I walked, I said, oh, this is a male painter, this is a female painter. I can recognize, it's something very masculine about it. There was rusty colors, but they were landscapes. And the painter, the artist, he was, each day of his life, he was painting very small A5 canvas. So he created these 365 canvases in 1 year. And they're very, very small A5 size, but sort of nice. And the scale didn't sort of correspond with the sort of masculine image.
That's what I was going to ask.
But you can recognize. I don't know. You can tell. I have this sort of. I said I have a nose for that. I mean, anybody can have a nose for that. But there is something about it. It wasn't sort of. It was strong. It had a very, very strong impact. But it wasn't pretty.
Strong in terms of the line.
Strong in sort of the way it was presented, in a sort of line, shape, form, whatever was there, was completely different than a sort of female artist would approach that.
And in terms of your work?
Again, it was sort of, I liked it because it looked similar to my work in the term of in terms of sort of line and the sort of sharpness. So
is it quite masculine?
Yes. Yeah. And especially sort of printmaking, it's a sort of dirty job, and people usually, I mean, I don't want to sort of offend anybody, but I think I have a colleague, she's a sort of female printmaker, she's wonderful, but all her work, it's immaculate. It's sort of every single line, every sort of dot, it's sort of washed, erased, sort of ink applied again, and sort of it's really immaculate. But mine it's a little bit sort of dirtier, sort of we like a little bit of sort of dirt there. And so, and through this project, as I said, I want to sort of present to my students something that they can do, just to open take the blinkers off their faces and sort of show them there is something else apart from painting, drawing and recording in a sort of standard form and standard way they're sort of used to. And I hope they will come tonight, and sort of, because they sort of promised, at least two of them I would like to see. And then we'll see how sort of, you know, how can we take this project back to school and carry on with that 1 hour of my life there.
What did they make of it when you first told them about it?
They all think that I'm completely mad. So they said wonderful. So that was the sort of reaction. They said, oh, we're all coming to see you. And but they actually, I was sort of quite proud of myself that I managed, again, because whatever I achieved here, I achieved by myself. So it was quite hard at the beginning. But then again, I was thinking, I was born in Croatia, in a very small town, and I managed to sort of put myself on the plinth at Trafalgar Square, so.
Has it been quite a difficult journey at times?
It was sort of, financially it was difficult. I had to sort of struggle with sort of loans and, but anyway, a friend, very good friend, helped me a lot. My parents helped me as well. And I managed to sort of clear the debts, and I'm started living now age 38 on. So. But I'm very happy with sort of, you know, the way I sort of established myself in the UK now. And I said, I came here with intention to stay 2 months, and I liked it, and I do declare myself now as a naturalized Brit-ish.
Did you find it very easy to make friends when you first came over?
Yes. That was actually quite sort of, it was contradicting things that I heard before. About, you know, stiff upper lip and sort of cold British society, and sort of they don't talk to anybody, sort of nobody bothers with sort of foreigners, and if you sort of look in the underground, they're all sort of pretending they're reading the newspapers. But actually it's not true. All my friends are actually English, British. And it's funny, when I say English, because that's a sort of continental term, we think British. And I did insult a few Scots and Welsh, and I said, oh, you're all English, and sort of, sort of spikes thrown at me, but they do understand, because we consider England UK, so.
What do you think the British view of Croatia is?
Everybody heard of former Yugoslavia, and then when I said that I'm from Croatia, they said, where's that? I had sort of explained that former Yugoslavia was a federation of 6 republics, and Croatia was one of them. And then the war happened, and all sorts of things happened there. And we declared independence, and Croatia became an independent country. They all know, they heard of Dubrovnik, but they have no idea that that's in Croatia. They heard of Dalmatia, and one of my friends, actually my friend's mother, she said other people spotty as well as like Dalmatians. But she was a very nice old lady, so. And I think it was a joke. But it is odd, because lots of people here, they heard of particular places, but they have no idea where these places are. Dubrovnik, it's somewhere on Adriatic coast, and Adriatic coast is part of Croatia. And Split, so the Diocletian Palace, it's part of Croatia. And I can't understand that sort of lack of interest sometimes. They will go on holidays there, but they're going to forget about it, forget about the country, they will remember the place where they were. So I just don't understand that part of sort of society here and people. It's like sort of, sometimes it's sort of sheep mentality, a herd. So, but luckily there are lots of sort of very nice individuals that sort of, they stand out, and that's why I stayed here actually.
Have you been back to Croatia?
I go every year. I go to visit my father. My mother died 6 years ago, and I go and visit my father every summer and Christmas, and he comes here, and my sister lives there as well.
Does he like it here?
My father has a phobia of flying. So he likes it when he's here, he hates when he has to go back, and he hates when he has to come here. So he hasn't been here a lot, but I tried to persuade him to sort of maybe sit in a car and drive. It'll be easier. And he likes it, but he doesn't speak very good English. He speaks basic, so communicating with people around it's extremely difficult, and then he thinks he's a sort of burden because I have to take him around, I have to sort of entertain him all the time because he doesn't know anybody here apart from me and my partner. So, and I'm planning to bring him now at Easter holidays, so next year. We'll see.
Is your partner coming along to watch
you? Yes, he's in the pub probably at the moment, and he's bringing a couple of other friends, and again students, and hopefully it'll be sort of remembered as something positive and mad about Mr. Mattia.
Did you think about bringing your squeeze box along?
I was thinking about it. I really wanted, but then I wasn't sort of sure about the weather. I wanted to play Croatian tunes, but it's quite old accordion, and I couldn't expose it to the sort of weather conditions, so maybe next time.
Do you have any reservations about doing this?
I don't. I really don't know what to expect. I'll just go with the flow. I'm very excited about it because I want to sort of, I can see these sort of little sketches that I'm going to create in about 25 minutes. I will start. I want to sort of, I can see already the outcome because I'm extremely, extremely visual person and tactile. I have to sort of see and sort of touch things, and then I will understand how these things work. That's why I failed physics many times in my life. I could not comprehend why something's heavier, it travels faster. For me, heavier has to be sort of on the ground and it doesn't move because it's heavy. And how come that travels faster than something that's lighter? So I never understood that, so that's why I'm not a physicist. But as I said, sort of this sort of visual concept of things, I can already see what my final piece is going to be. But another thing I just want to say, it's every time when I look at a piece of art, that's a sort of professional deformation, malformation, deformation. I don't know how to sort of describe that. But when I look at something, I don't say, oh, this is pretty. This is, in a term sort of visual quality, I always think of, oh, this is the project I can do with my children at school. So I have to somehow sort of blank that bit of sort of, I have to sort of leave the teaching world sometimes behind me. It's very, very difficult because, for example, tomorrow I'm going to London Art and to the Frieze show in Regent's Park. And I know I will go there, I will buy the catalogue, and then I will mark, okay, these artists are doing portraits, these artists are doing landscapes, this is conceptual art, this is sort of installation, and I'm going to put the names in the book. Julia, she's going to do this project for her final piece. Alicia, she's going to do this project for her final piece. Katie will do this project for her final piece. So that's the thing. Teaching takes quite a lot, and it's sort of a lot of my life is dedicated to teaching. So I would like to do a bit more of my work.
Who are you doing this for?
Both. I'm doing it for myself because I can see how I can sort of take this further, but also I'm doing it for them, for students, just to sort of show them, again, another concept in art.
So taking the freeze art fair
yeah.
as an example, examples, you mentioned it. If you weren't going to see specific work for your students, what kind of things would you choose to see?
I always go for something figurative, and that's also sort of influence of my partner. We've been together now 14 years, 15 years? I think it's 14. Anyway, 1st of December we have an anniversary. He's always looking sort of for something with a sort of figure in work. So one recently we sat down and we were looking around the flat and I said, all our paintings are with human figure. So we have nothing else. It's either portrait or it's even tiny, tiny figure somewhere in the distance, but it must be somewhere in the work. So I like the portrayal of sort of human being in the piece of art. I'm not very much into sort of atmospheric paintings and atmospheric pieces of work, and that's why I like Gormley's work, because it's very figurative and it's very masculine.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before you go up on the
panel? No, I'm just sort of, I'm getting so excited now, and I really have to go to the loo.
Thank you very much indeed.